to the Steve Cochran Show.
Her life was cut short by gunfire from two convicted felons who were both out on parole, one of whom was on his daily break from an electronic monitoring bracelet.
Kids saying they want their mom and their mom won't be in their lives anymore. Only through spirit, only through pictures. That's the only way they know their mom. It's just heartbreaking.
Repeat gun offenders that don't care who they shoot, don't care whose life they take, and clearly don't fear the consequences of their actions. When will enough be enough?
Superintendent Eddie Johnson and Diane Aldridge, mother of Nikia Aldridge, who, by the way, also lost another child to gun violence. It's just beyond words. There's no words you could say to make any of this make sense. And as you know, Superintendent Eddie Johnson said this weekend, hey, you got any magic? Why don't you show it to me? Because I could use the help. A man who knows the job all too well is Gary McCarthy, who is good enough to join us this morning, former superintendent for the Chicago Police Department. Gary, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm fine. You know, I'm appalled. I'm sickened by it, as you are, and you know it from the inside out. What were these two animals doing back on the street?
Yeah, I can't answer that. I can't answer it. You know, the thing that I used to say is the fact that the criminals fear the gang more than they fear the criminal justice system.
Right.
They, you know, there's no reason not to carry a gun in Chicago because nobody goes to jail for it. And if you do go to jail for it, you don't stay in jail. And I'm still waiting for the outrage.
Right.
People are disgusted, but where is the outrage?
Where,
and, you know, this is all self-inflicted.
It's completely self-inflicted, and we do have the power to act. And we go, well, man, I'm glad it's not here. Well, it's coming. Yeah. It's coming, kids. It's coming. There's going to be – we're sitting in one of the most beautiful studios in the world here on Michigan Avenue. And this isn't doomsday Trump nonsense. It's coming. Would it surprise you if somebody got shot outside the studio one morning? It wouldn't me. Because they're a mile and a half away. It's not a different world. That's Chicago.
No, there was a guy who was shot two blocks from a lunch place that you and I go to
right.
all the time in the South Loop Sunday.
So I don't know. I don't know, Gary. I don't know what is going to cause the public to just rise up, but it is absolutely ridiculous. So when it comes to these people being on the street, is it crafty lawyering? Is it bad law? Is it a combination of both?
It's bad law. It's bad law. And the illegal possession of a loaded firearm is not considered a violent felony for sentencing purposes. So we started tracking people who we arrest with guns. And there were some people who we arrested 688 people 692 times in the first quarter of 2015. And how can that be? That's because we arrested four people twice. And by April 1st,
by the first day
of the second quarter, 75% of those individuals who we arrested were back on the street, including three out of the four who we arrested twice. If you get arrested twice with a firearm in 90 days, you're a public safety hazard. There's no reason for you to be on the street, but the law in Illinois allows it. We tried to get this changed a couple of years ago. It got blocked by one of the most unholy alliances I've ever heard of, the Black Caucus in Springfield, working with the NRA, tabled a resolution to stiffen gun penalties. I just think about that for a second. What the NRA did was they went to the Black Caucus and said, hey, they want to stiffen gun penalties, and all that's going to do is arrest more young black men. And it got tabled.
They'd rather
they be interned than incarcerated, apparently.
Yeah, exactly. You know, how could the Black Caucus not stop down for a second and go, we're taking advice from the NRA?
Yeah, this was Ken Duncan when he was running the Black Caucus down there. Fortunately, he's gone. Hopefully, somebody else can fix it now.
So,
but, you know, Steve, we still don't hear a plan. We don't hear any leadership.
No, there is no plan. There is no plan. And that's part of the outrage here. But here's the rest of it for me. The potential vice president of the United States is the current governor of Indiana. We keep hearing more and more guns are pouring across the border from Indiana. What's Indiana doing to help?
Yeah, well, Indiana, Wisconsin, and Mississippi are the three places outside of Illinois where most of our guns come from. 60% of our guns still come from right here in Cook County. Places like Chuck's and all these other gun shops that, you know, they go right to the edge, but they do not commit a crime. There's gaps in the law that allows for this to happen. It's terrible. To make a store purchase case, which is how those guns make the streets of Chicago. In other words, somebody else goes in, who can actually buy the gun. Many times it's a gangbanger's girlfriend who doesn't have a criminal record, buys the gun and transfers it illegally. To make that case, it's almost impossible. The hoops that you have to jump through. And that's on the federal level.
Talking with former Chicago Police Superintendent Gary McCarthy. So what does this do to a cop's health, mental health, when you're picking up the same guy 3 and 4 times?
It definitely doesn't help morale, I can tell you that, because every time you get that gun off the street, it's an armed confrontation with a criminal. And this is something else that people don't realize, is that police-related shootings in a city where we see 7,000 to 10,000 guns every year, that's 7,000 to 10,000 armed confrontations with criminals that could end up with the police officer getting killed. And we had 19 police-related shootings last year. 19. That's not so bad. And it's also a 70% reduction from 5 years ago. So those officers have remarkable restraint. And what we've done is we've thrown out the baby with the bathwater because of some bad shootings, which have to be addressed. If somebody makes a mistake or a criminal mistake, they have to be held accountable. No two ways about it. But the outrage regarding the police are not the problem in this country right now, and certainly not in the city of Chicago. That's the way that it's being made out.
Want to get your opinion on the videos that are being released. I know there has to be a certain amount of transparency in order to, I guess, rebuild the trust between the public and the police department in many neighborhoods. But what are your thoughts on these videos being released? Do you think that's a good thing, or you think it just kind of creates an incite mentality?
I think it's inciting things, and I think that it's destroying criminal cases. We don't release the evidence in a murder case before the case is finished. In other words, when that prosecution comes to conclusion. Yet now, because of political pressure, we're putting the cart before the horse. How is that building trust? I don't understand. And what's the difference if that tape comes out today, video comes out today, or it comes out in 6 months or 8 months from now? It's not building trust. It's not building transparency. That's what everybody's talking about. But the politics of this has it that we're also doing, if you think about it, and I'm not sure I spoke about this last time, but the Inspector General's case that he made on the officers regarding their statements regarding the Laquan McDonald case is completely blowing up the prosecution of Jason Van Dyke. You don't do an administrative case before a criminal case is finished. Or a civil case is finished. No attorney on earth wants that to happen. Of course, you're jeopardizing it. But the politics of it has it that we're doing it. So wait until that happens now. When Van Dyke doesn't get prosecuted because of the administrative case that the city brought against the 7 officers or the 10 officers, whatever it is, then there's going to be outrage because of that. We're going in circles.
We just live. And I've never thought we could get to this point, but we live in such a cover-your-own-ass time where everybody's concerned about their agenda, their backside, their problem, and it's not on my block, and boy, that's a shame, but I sure wish somebody would do something. You don't need to wait till your kid gets shot. You need to shut this down. You need to shut it down.
And we don't need value statements. We've got that. We know that there's something wrong. We don't need value statements from elected officials or the police. We need a plan, and we need leadership, and that's what's going to turn this thing around. We had a plan. We had leadership. We had this going in the right direction with some bumps in the road. We had 2 straight years of the lowest murder rate since 1965 in this city. Overall crime was down 40% over the 5 years that I was police superintendent. And where are we now? In 8 short months, we've been able to get ourselves back to 1990-type crime rates.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. I mean, it ought to trouble every one of you as you go to work and wherever this morning. Gary, I appreciate
every action
you.
Has a reaction. Every action has a reaction. And there's no political solutions for practical problems. And you can't legislate good policing.
Yeah, but legislation would help. Legislation that you're able to stick to and legislation that's enforced.
But Steve, they legislated the police.
No. Well, you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about legislation
with
the guns.
Absolutely.
And deals with the criminals. All right. Thank you, Gary. I appreciate it.